Well, it's 5:27 Central African time on this beautiful Tuesday morning, Yom Thulath, the 25th of Shawwal, 1444. Well, let's welcome our beloved listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International. Let's welcome our beloved, wonderful listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And, of course, it's time for our Fadilatul Ustad. Our Ustad says news, views, and interviews. Let's welcome him early this beautiful Tuesday morning. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 25th of Shawwal, 1444. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on chapter 26, Surah Ash-Shu'ara, the poets, and verses number 83. Right up to, we go inshaAllah to verse 89. We continue with Nabi Ibrahim, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, alayhi salatu salam, all his dua, supplication, and remember the message he's giving to the people who are idol worshippers. They used to worship the celestial creation, the stars, the moon, the sun, and so forth and so on. Hence he states, chapter 26 and verse number 83, Rabbi, O my beloved Allah, it means Ya Rabbi, O my beloved sustainer, nourisher, provider, habali, grant me as a gift. Habali, grant, like how he said, Rabbi habali min as-salihin. Chapter 37, verse 100, Ya Allah, grant me, give me as a gift, pious offspring and progeny. Rabbi habali, O Almighty Allah, you grant me, give me hukma, that judgment. So I pass the correct verdict and I pass the correct judgment at all time, O Almighty Allah. Wa alhiqni bi salihin. And when I pass away, you then join me and attach me to those devout and pious servants of yours. Waj'alli lisana sidqin fil akhirin. O Almighty Allah, that make me lisana sidqin, that the people speak good of me even after my demise and my death. Fil akhirin, in the latter generations. When you go to Khalilur Rahman Hebron, you will see Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam buried there, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salatu salam buried there, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Jacob buried there, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their honorable spouses. But these haramis, Baruch Goldstein, the 100% war criminal and the murderer of the Palestinians. So after murdering them, 25th February, 16th Ramadan, 1994, the Israeli Jutlas Harami stole the masjid also. Half the masjid, quarter, three-quarter the masjid they stole. And our three-quarter the Palestinians are kicked out already from there. So they speak of Abrahamic Accord. There's no such thing as Abrahamic Accord. Any person promotes it and believes in it is out of the fold of Islam. Waj'alni min warathati jannatin na'im. O Almighty Allah, you grant me that ability that I become one of the heirs of jannatin na'im, of the paradise of pleasure, the paradise of all bounties and favors that will be ever recurring, showering from you upon us, O Almighty Allah. Now this next verse, understand it. People make a common mistake and common error. They read one verse in the Quran and they start jumping. But remember, you can't do that. You cannot read the noble Quran selectively and reach a conclusion. You have to read the Quran Sharif holistically. And then only will you understand, and you have to read it in conjunction with the ahadith and the teaching, preaching of the Master, Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَغَفِرْ لِأَبِي Oh Almighty Allah, forgive my father. إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الضَّالِينَ He's astray. He's worshipping the idols, manufacturing idols. So Almighty Allah tells us in chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 114, that he made dua for him, hoping that his father will embrace Islam. Then, فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ When it became apparent to Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam, that his father Azar is an enemy of Allah, تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ He totally disassociated himself for him, and he stopped making dua and supplicating for him. Almighty Allah tells us, chapter 9, verse 84, when a person passes away and dies and is sane and mature as a non-Muslim, Jew, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, whatever, is absolutely haram and not lawful to pray for them after their death. Surah chapter 9, verse 84, وَلَا تُسْوَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ You cannot pray for them, nor can you stand by their grave, nor can you have memorial service, all that absolutely haram. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ Oh Almighty Allah, do not disgrace me when the day the people will be resurrected. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ On that day, no person's wealth, no person's children will come to any avail and will benefit that person. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ What will benefit people? Except the person who comes to Almighty Allah, meaning the person comes for reckoning. بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ With a pure heart. A heart that is pure of kufr and blasphemy. Pure from shirk and idol worship and polytheism. Pure and cleansed and purified from nifaq and hypocrisy. See the wonderful, beautiful du'as of Khalilullah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Let us take you across the world. This today, 25th Shawwal, news, views and interviews. Alhamdulillah, last night, three people from Australia, three ladies, they embraced Iman and Islam. Last week was 12, this week is 3. All this is not we are non-entities. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّي is solely, only, exclusively the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah. We must thank our brother Ibrahim Anderson, mashallah. It's all his efforts and we just place the finishing touches. Now let's go through with all the news. A South African delegation from the military is gone to Russia. And they're going to discuss all about, will Putin come to South Africa for the BRICS conference or not? Were there any arms sent to Russia? So many things on the agenda. Now listen to America, what they have to say. Iran and Russia are entrenching ties. Their ties are improving every day. So America says this is very bad for the international community. Do you know what is the international community? That is only the whiteys. America, Europe and so forth, Britain and they. So when I pose the question to both haramis, America and to Israel, are your ties not entrenching and improving over 75 years? You were helping murdering the Palestinians, incarcerating them and so forth, and you want to come tell me that Iran and Russia are a threat to the international community? Are Israel and America not the biggest threat in the world and the biggest terrorists on this earth? You need to answer that question. Saudi Arabia, remember they had so much rain in the kingdom this April that passed. It was the greatest rainfall in their history for the past 40 years. So a lot of rain there. Israeli mayor, listen to this, Haaretz newspaper carried it yesterday, an Israeli mayor refuses to sit with the woman in the interview on the TV and so forth. Just turn it a bit around. If something like that had to happen to Afghanistan, the Taliban says, no, we're not sitting with the woman, and she must sit in the other studio, and we will sit. They will say that the Muslims and the Afghanis and Taliban are oppressing the woman. Are these haramis and these terrorists not oppressing the woman? So, everywhere you will find double standards, whether it be in the rogue apartheid terrorist regime of Israel, the children of Hitler, whether in America. I take you to Sunak. Sunak is an Indian, he's an Asian. He was not elected, he came in by default. Now, listen to this incident. When Britain and America and 48 countries were in Afghanistan, so they had their chamchas. So you don't understand the term chamchas. They had their chamchis and their big spies and their small spies and their sidekicks, right? That's the translation. So this Afghans thought that these people are very good and we will work with them as interpreters. So they hired so many of them as interpreters because they don't know Farsi, they don't know Pushto, they don't know the Afghan languages and so forth. All by and large. So what happened? Lo and behold, now Taliban is in power. All these interpreters thought that now they will go to Britain because they serve Her Majesty's government. You see, that is there. So they are in a hellhole now in Pakistan, sitting in hotels there. And do you know what Sunak and the British say? They say that you keep on staying in Pakistan. We don't have accommodation for you here in Britain. These are the whiteys, haramis, understand this. You must nail them, shame them, and so forth. Shame on you. But when the whitey wants to come from Ukraine or any other country, then they will give them all the perks and everything. So that is what they do. Turkey, remember the Kemal, the opposition, is crying, telling his supporters, don't worry, don't be sad, we didn't win the elections, and Erdogan won, he gave a victory speech, and on 28th of May, there will be a runoff, and inshallah, inshallah, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, remember Erdogan, and Israel is very upset, America is very upset. Nakba, 15th May, has been recognized for the first time in history by the United Nations. Nakba is the catastrophe when the apartheid regime, the real terrorists, murdered and expelled the Palestinians, 800,000. Go and read the Irgun gang, the Stern gang, the Haganah gang, what massacres they carried out. Now listen to this story. Hungary is a good country, they really are hungry. Hungary blocks 500 million euros payment to Ukraine. They say no. And in European Union, every country has to agree. So they are blocking that payment there. France says no jets, no big planes for Ukraine. See? Malema is in the news. Malema gave an interview yesterday. He said in 2 weeks' time, South Africa will be plunged into complete darkness blackout. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Ta'ala save us, and remember, look at India. We must never forget India. They are our worst enemies, Quran says, chapter 5, verse 82. And remember, you don't understand chapter and verse, go to the last verse of the six supara, six juice. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Now and in the future, your worst enemies will be the Jutlas, the Jews, the Haramis, and the Hindus and the Mushrik. We don't say every Hindu. We never say every Jew. But we definitely will say majority. And you just look at Israel and India, both apartheid regime. There's a place called Manipur, and there is a minority people. They're not Muslims, but 73 people dead, 243 injured, 30,000 homeless. But the media don't carry this. India might get upset, you see. They need India for IT and so forth. We need to name them and shame them. Hey, you Modi, you butcher of Gujarat, BJP and URSS, what are you doing to the people? They're the minorities. Whether it be Muslims, whether it be Christians, whether it be Sikhs. And is that your largest democracy in the world? world, that you oppress and suppress all the minorities. You go and demolish their mosque and so forth. Is that what you're talking about? Shame on you, man. So remember, in Iran, more and more women are leaving and shunning the scarf, what they call hijab. It's not hijab, it's the scarf. So remember, they're telling them, we're not going to listen to you. So that are the kuffar Shias. They have, they're not Muslims, all the Shias, remember that. So they got their own internal battles and so forth and so on. Listen to this story. Putin is smiling, Xi Jinping is smiling, and Brazil is smiling, India is smiling, and they put one South African there just for barkat, you know, just to show the world we got some diversity. Now listen to this. 30 countries are now prepared to accept the BRICS currency. They're all standing in the queue. We don't want the dollar. We want to de-dollarize. So dollar, you going, finish, history. America, you falling. Israeli, Jutlas, Haramis, you listening to me, recording me, go to your internal home affairs and start getting another passport. Your day is nay near and you will have to run, remember that. And Vatican, you see, the Pope, there's no hope for the Pope when we challenged him. So there's a story, very interesting. All of you must go and Google it. It's called the Vatican Girl. Lot of things happens there in the Vatican. You must remember that. Sometimes the monks in the churches, they're busy with the nuns, with the monkey business. Remember that. So the Vatican Girl, it's called. 40 years ago, there was a lady, and she was there in the Vatican, and then suddenly she disappears. What a big scandal. They tried and do everything to, you know, camouflage it, cover it up. No, everything is coming out again. Who was involved? The staff of the Pope of that time. So there you Christians, you have the story again. Inshallah al-Aziz, today between 8:30 and 9 will be Maulana Musa Akudi with Maulana Zahid Khan. 11 to 12, Bliss of Marriage, inshallah, Maulana Arafat and myself. And 1 to 2 will be Tafsir, commentary of the Noble Quran, inshallah, Aziz.
Somebody says, Ustad, that it says Nepal. Is Nepal dying, Ustad?
So Nepal is a country, you must remember, there near India. So yes, they have big problems there because they have become a vassal state for India. But remember that they have so many tourists going that they want to climb this mountain and that mountain and so many mountains and so forth. And then they have problems, you must remember, with the animals there and a lot of issues in Nepal. So that is the big problem. They're facing huge, huge challenges. You see, all these countries that are under another country, so you have to toe the line. If you don't toe the line, then they're going to squeeze you. Squeeze you economically, then militarily, so many different ways, because they hold the trump cards. And trump cards, remember, the FBI is in big trouble. Nobody authorized them to go and check what Trump is doing and Russia is doing. So they also heavily criticized by the American regime, the FBI.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that why didn't Jamal Khashoggi know better than to enter a Saudi embassy? He seemed very wary of Saudi's tactics, yet he took such a huge risk. Ustad.
My brother, he left Saudi Arabia because he knew in the kingdom he can't go and then criticize MBS and his policies, the Murtad bin Shaitan. He's a big shot American journalist and he had American American green card and what have you. He was a senior journalist for the Washington Post and he wanted to marry Khadija, the lady there in Turkey. Everything was fixed. So they told him in Washington that no, you must go to Turkey and you'll get your plan, you'll get everything there and so forth and so on. So everything was planned and by MBS and his henchmen and his cronies and comrades and so forth. You must be an idiot not to believe that. So remember that how must he know that these guys are going to make Qurbani and slaughter him and cut him into pieces. You can't even find his body and then they just dumped it there and so forth. Right by the embassy or the ambassador's house. Now the the Saudi embassy is no more in that place there in Istanbul. So it is moved to another place. So therefore, you must remember, when you speak against them, they're ruthless and so forth. So Jamal's story will remain. They tried to butter them up. They gave the family millions. They read Salatul Janaza and Abstentia there in Makkah, Medina, and all that for Jamal Khashoggi, a Shaheed, Rahimahullah. Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. But remember, the stain will always remain on the Saudi regime, and especially on MBS. That is Allah's system of disgracing people, even though they're multi-billionaires, trillionaires, zillionaires. But Allah has disgraced them forever. وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِيمٍ. Chapter 22, verse 18. Whosoever, remember, Allah Ta'ala disgraces, there's no one to give them honor.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, Ustad, this is Jonathan. He says, is it true that 7,306 Pakistanis have recently applied for Indian citizenship? Why are they choosing India?
Lucky they're not choosing Israel. You must remember this type of thing, Jonathan. You see, I made a statement yesterday. Yesterday or the other day, on Sunday or whenever. I said that Pakistan, 220 million people. If the Western governments, America, Europe, have to say, okay, Pakistanis, you can come here, half the population of Pakistan will leave Pakistan and they'll go there. So you must remember, there is a Bay of Farcom. They're not very loyal. They're not loyal to, I'm speaking of majority of them. They're not loyal to Islam. They're not loyal to, you must remember, America, to their Pakistani homeland and so forth. Come, I tell you something, Jonathan, which you do not know. 2000 in November, December, I was there, second half of November and December. In America, I was in Maryland, in a place called Hagerstown, 10-15 minutes away from the Camp David. You know Camp David? So we went to Camp David, we went to White House. When we were going to Camp David, then boards were there. This was before 9-11. That now if you come, then they're going to shoot. So I told the driver, just take a U-turn, now we go back. Cut long story short, so when I went for the Taraweeh, you know that our extra prayers, we read by heart the entire Quran and so forth. Behind me, there are 50, 70 people. From there, 40, 45 Pakistani doctors. Not one is a doctor, everyone a top shot specialist, head to toe. I couldn't believe. I went to some of their houses. You can't believe how they're living it up. So I even lectured to them. I told them on Eid Day that you have sold Islam in Pakistan for your American passport. So whether they go to India, whether they go to Iran, whether they go to West, everybody of them, 90%, are looking for a better life. You know how expensive things are in Pakistan. So for one US dollar, you will get 300 rupees, 290, 280. You go to Afghanistan, it is between 80 and 90. So any way they can leave, they will leave. It's common sense. How you jutlas haramis, what you doing in South Africa? You, Jonathan, I'm asking you. You're a harami of the first order because you support Israel. So what you doing? Why you don't pack up and go back to Israel? So don't come talk about Pakistan. Talk about the jutlas who are living outside Israel like you and the others. And you kicked out the Palestinians, 7 million approximately, who are living in the diaspora. You got your answer, harami? That's the answer.
I've got Sister Olivia Ustad. She says, morning, AK, if Jonah was traveling in the belly of a fish for 3 days, which sea was it? Sister Olivia Ustad.
My sister Olivia, you must read the Noble Quran. Everything you will find. Did you go and Google that, my sister Olivia? I'm repeating for your benefit and the others. Go to Mr. Google or Madam Google, Quran made easy, Quran, made easy, is in two volumes, and you will see at the bottom is written there, Mufti, M-U-F-T-I, Afzal Hussain, A-F-Z-A-L, and then Hussain, H-O-O-S-A-N. We connections a little bit also. So, we all connected somehow. So, anyway, Sister Olivia, so you must go there. Now you want the story of Jonah, right? We call him Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu salam. So listen to his story. Then you will understand where all this happened and so forth. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala tells us, read that wa inna Yunus alamin al-mursaleen, that Jonah is from the prophets and the messengers. But now he was inviting his people and they were not listening, so he left them, you see. And when he left them without the command of Almighty Allah, so he went and the boat, he was there. So all this happening, where? In Nineveh. Write it down. Now we say Nineveh, you say N-I-N-E-V-E-H, Nineveh. So in English, right? So that is in Iraq. So all this is happening there. It's abaqa ilal fulk al-mashhun, and he went to a boat, a ship that was packed to capacity. And thereafter everything happened, that he was so, you understood, worried what's going to happen, because he left without the permission of Almighty Allah, and they cast him overboard, and in the belly of the fish, lalabitha fi batnihi ila yawmi yub'athun, he was reading, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. So Matthew, your Bible says 3 days and three nights, but when you look at reality, it was 1 day and two nights, according to your belief, Christian belief. So all this happened, my sister Olivia, in Iraq, and all my Allah sent him ila miyati alfin o yazidun. Read, my sister, Quran made easy, chapter number 37, and read their verses 171, 147, and right up to 150 you can read. So 147, yeah. So inshallah, or 140, read from 140 right to 149, so you can inshallah understand what had happened to Jonah, Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam.
Somebody wants to know, Ustaz, that how does Saudi Arabia finance its government? Anonymous was not there.
Obviously, with the oil and so forth, therefore they speak of diversification, and now they're promoting tourism, breaking, violating the laws of Almighty Allah. They're promoting movies, building cinemas in Medina Munawwara and so forth. So all this, remember, their biggest income is the oil, don't you even know? Bloomberg's report, if you know, that they said Saudi's income per day on oil alone is $1 billion. Sure. $1 billion only on oil. So what about the other things they are doing? In the Hajj pilgrimage, you know how much money they make? You must remember Ramadan, 20 million pilgrims were there. So during for the whole entire Ramadan, now Hajj will come, another 5 million people, 4 million people, because the pilgrims are 2 million. Then they have to bring other people in to work and for service and so forth. So all this, remember, is a money spinner for them, and therefore for the whole Hajj, the entire pilgrimage has been commercialized today. It's just a money-making operation by the Saudi Kuffar regime.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. 0847863132. I see Jonathan says, Ustaz, that he says, my wife and I, we do listen to your program every morning, but sometimes we disagree with you, Ustaz.
Ah, very good, disagree. You must go back to Israel.
Somebody says, is it true, Ustaz, Saddam Hussein had a copy of the Quran written from his own blood? Is it true, Ustaz?
So you must remember, Saddam Hussein was the president of Iraq. He was a Sunni, and he sorted out all these kuffar Shia. Kuffar mean non-Muslim. Kuffar Shia, and mashallah, he kept the beard also, and he passed away as a shaheed reading the kalima. The kuffar Shias were there. Muqtada Sadr were there. American agents were there while they were executing, hanging him. We make dua for President Saddam Hussein, rahimahullah. We make dua for President Hafiz. You must remember Muhammad Mursi of Egypt. They all Pakka Muslims and Sunnis. And remember all that is nonsense story. You must remember that he had Quran written with his blood. You know, these people, when they make propaganda, they will come with some far-fetched stories and fabricated stories. Look at Iraq today. They're crying for Saddam Hussein. Look at Libya today. They're crying for Gaddafi. Look at Egypt today. They're crying for Muhammad Mursi. So all these, the Americans and their agents went to destroy all these countries. Remember that.
Let's go to Lodium. Somebody says, Mufti Saab is protesting aloud in Islam as we are now fed up with the load sheddings. It's costing us thousands of rands in lost foods as our fridges don't work. That food could have been given to poor people, Ustad.
And that food, you could have made good profit out of it also, you see. So protesting is not permissible in Islam. Protest, and what you're going to do? You're going to walk on the street, men and women, and everybody mixed up and so forth. Three-quarter of the women are not dressed properly. All haram, all these things here. Islam don't allow. You want halat, conditions to change from unfavorable to favorable, so you have to shed more tears. For load shedding, shed more tears. I ask you a question. I don't know you, right? I don't know if you're a male or female, first of all. I'm asking you how many Fajr Salat you already missed from Fajr, from Ramadan till now. I'm asking you. Be honest about it. When does Ummah does not read its five daily Salat on time, then forget the help of Almighty Allah. Allah's help doesn't come. We have to devote and dedicate ourselves to Almighty Allah. The man must be in the masjid. Go to our mosque. Just now I'll be going there 5-10 minutes time. And what you see? Our masjids are empty. Ramadan time, it was full, and fasting month, and then 11 months is empty. Who's fooling who? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, in tansurullah. If you help Almighty Allah, then yansurkum, Almighty Allah will help you and assist you. But we're not interested in helping. Allah don't need our help. In tansuru deen Allah. You must help Islam. So help Islam means everything Islam taught us to do, we must carry out without fear and favor. We want to be selective. Ramadan time, we will fast. Angelic qualities. 11 months, satanic qualities. So when Allah's help comes, He's just doing us a favor, obviously. So remember that the punishment will suit the crime. Quran speaks of this. فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوءِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ. When a nation was enjoying the bounties, favors of Almighty Allah, and then they made nashukri, they're ungrateful, for kafarat bi anumillah, then action, reaction, cause and effect. For adhaqah Allah libas al jew. Remember, Allah will place the garment of poverty on you. 52% of the youth don't have a job in South Africa. Your matric certificate and degrees are not worth the paper on which it's written. Go and see the statistics. Well, khawf, you live in fear. Everybody is now putting gates and security and alarms and so forth. 82 murders a day, more than 50 rapes a day. So that is your beloved South Africa. Cry, my beloved country. You know, Alan Payton. So remember this. Learn the dua, brother. They're protesting and wasting time. We know the government is corrupt. Therefore, I never ever voted for them. But you voted for them. Didn't you vote for them in 94 and after 99 and so forth? So you all must be the last people to complain because you voted for them. And we must read the dua. Allah, dear land, this dua will conclude on this. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hawri ba'd al-kawr. Learn this dua. We must repeat it, Maulana, for the people. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hawri. With a ha and a fatha zabar on the ha. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hawri ba'd al-kawr. Go open Nasai, Kitabul Isti'adha. He has the longest chapter of Isti'adha in the Hadith book, 65 different chapters. O Almighty Allah, I seek your protection that we have favorable conditions. And after the favorable, then it is changed to unfavorable, like we in South Africa. Who dreamt of load shedding and that 20 years ago? Nobody. Now it's 15 years we're having load shedding and things are going bad to us. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hawri ba'd al-kawr. So inshallah we'll leave it there. And remember that 8:30 to 9, Mawlana Musa Akudi, 11 to 12, Mawlana Arafat and myself, bless of marriage. Make dua for us, make dua for the ummah, and make dua for the Haramain Sharifain and Palestine. And inshallah, anybody interested in embracing Islam, we're ready like an ever-ready battery for you. Inshallah, okay? But it must come from the bottom of your heart, remember that. My brother Junaid will send out the podcast, Mawlana Arafat will send it out. Jazakallah khair. Next, we have the news with brother Suleiman Esop, and thereafter, inshallah, we have the Adhan for Fajr, and thereafter, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub, and then 7 o'clock, Mawlana Zahid Khan. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.